From Los Angeles, California, here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and other organizations for the purpose of improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. This seminar is entitled, Can We Have a Relationship with God? Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about the movement.
This is a dear JR. After going to the doctor Wednesday for adjustment, I have gone into very bad pain again. My body is so weary of pain, I'm afraid I'll freak out. If I had this pain and was dying, I believe I could bear it, for it was my way to leave this planet and go to the place that is reserved for me. But I'm not. I'm living, and it's almost too hard to bear. Please help me know I'm not alone. That was April 25th. On April 28th, I got a letter from the same person. Dearest JR, I'm having the same severe pain that I had been having the past, just as severe as I can remember it was. It was a terrible blow to me, and one that I really do not understand. I have called out to you for help and to let me know that I am not alone. Last night I saw you come to me in my dream state. You came up to the porch where I lived as a child, and there was a lot of people waiting there for you. You came over to me, put your hand on my head, and ran it over my face, feeling my teeth clenched together, and told me I was very tense. Then you took my hand and led me away from the rest and down a not too dark or not too long passage, holding my hand all the way. And then we came out of it and went to a sort of fast food place with other people there, and you said, let's sit down here and be close, all the time holding my hand. And then I woke up, still feeling your right hand in mine, and the feeling lingered there a long time till I had picked up my hand and kissed your hand. I know it means that you will lead me, and I pray I never lose track of it, that you are there with me holding my hand down the passageway, that I will make it, for I am never alone. The traveler is with me holding my hand. God bless you. I have never loved you so much as I love you today. Her typewriting's pretty good, though. They Xeroxed it, and it's kind of faded to read. Isn't that a beautiful letter? Still got pain, though, because that happens to be a karmic thing to purify consciousness, and maybe comes to an end, maybe. You know, often people hear a letter like that, and they say, well, you know, I have pain too, and when do I get my pain relieved? And it's like, when do you get your understanding that that pain is not your enemy? That your pain must be treated the same way as your love is treated. Now, we all know how to treat love really well. It's like, oh, that's fantastic. But what about that pain? Can we say in the midst of the pain, like it hurts, like, but oh, that's fantastic. It's hard. I'm not talking about the pain where somebody steps on your toe and you want to hit them in the nose. Now, that's usually over by the time you hit them in the nose. But we're talking about this pain that just seems to wrench the very last breath out of you. And if we can, and I use the word can, endure through the pain and not come up with hatred, then that pain will be used to show us the faults inside of us, because it is the faults inside of us that is holding to the pain. And if we alleviate the pain too fast, we will not look at the fault, and therefore we do not enter into our own salvation. Because we have to clear the fault. We have to clear it. But all the time we're getting the clearing, grace is sitting there saying, keep on, keep on, keep on. I have another one that I want to read it to you, because the person is an etheric initiate and almost into soul consciousness. As I read this, the description, you're going to say, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Beloved, Again, words are so inadequate. My heart is full and I want to share it with you. I'm home again. Each time, it is more beautiful. Today, when I was almost drowning in bliss, you urged me on. I experienced a strength that took me beyond the emotional joy, higher and higher, until I dissolved into serene purple light, strong and steady like a magnificent diamond. And it was as though this spiritual power was extended to all mankind, and time stood still. All was one. The incredible love that has been extended to me from so many sources on all levels in the past week is so richly rewarding. I am indeed blessed. I won't say that I am unworthy, but I am so humbly grateful. If I can do this, many others can. There are so many beautiful souls with so much to give. For so many years, I felt like the prodigal son's brother. That's a little switch, isn't it? We usually feel like the prodigal son because that's the classic character. This was not easy to understand and to learn to accept. I know how it feels now to be the prodigal son, the great joy given to each one as he returns home. No cry goes unheard, nor tear unseen by the loving Father who loves all of his creation. And you, beloved, I have seen joy in your face that could light the world. I feel that I'm about to be born, only the beginning. There is a beautiful soul, a beautiful loving soul hurting a bit, then mentions her name. I love her so. Would you look in on my son and granddaughter and listen to others and do what you can? Thank you, love. God bless you. Isn't that nice? When you start getting into the, you know, area where the words no longer are the words, when you're in a spiritual path, where there's a community of souls, the satsang, you inside of you find yourself going past the words as I read them. It's like, J.R., but the word was so totally inadequate to what happened as you said it. That's the spirit. It is just using the words as a vehicle for us to give our attention to the here and now-ness that I spoke about last night. And then it starts moving through us. I sometimes find it hard to contain my emotions when I get touched with the spirit of people's words as they share that loving consciousness. But I'm learning. This is one I'd like to share with you because it was written by a young man. Dear John Roger, one time a few weeks ago I wrote you a letter, and momentarily I felt and heard inside myself a wind-like sensation that I feel was a touch into or bridging with or working with an open channel to God. It felt like I touched to the deepest, widest, and longest force I've remembered. Well, now I know it. It's my truth. John Roger, this morning, I used my imagination, and I saw you and I in the meditation room upstairs, and you gave me an initiation. I couldn't imagine what that is, but the feeling was marvelous. Do you think it was an imagination? Some days, I feel like I'm not ready for what MSIA is all about. And other days, I know I'm not. Some days I feel like I'm not ready for what MSA is all about, and other days I know I'm not. Okay. But always your great love mystifies me, nudges me, and sometimes caresses me, and sometimes rocks me. John Roger, I don't feel I understand much at this time, but the thing I understand most is that I think you're a great man, and perhaps right now you're not so pleased because maybe you don't like to be called great. But I mean great, like in oceans of love, experience, and knowledge. Oh, that was really true. I'll read that again. But I mean great, like in oceans of love, experience, and knowledge. I think I love you. I mean, I know I love you, but not like my love for, and then he lists his girlfriend's name. Exactly, it's different. I am so imperfect. I do love you. I don't know how you are working with me and what that means in experience, but thank you, thank God, and please continue. When you say, let us put our hearts together, I know the way one knows I'm lucky to hear your voice to know of you. I think I have all the weaknesses possible in mankind, but I want to be strong and go home. I want you to be my teacher. I want to please you and God, to receive, to know. John Rogers, sometimes I'm even afraid. I remember now sometimes from the True Self tape, please send me the light and work with me for my highest good. Here are a couple short poems for you. I drew an angel in a moment. I see you now. The second one, here I stand, spread wing, smiling. Father, here I am. The poems don't have to be long. That one was way too short. No. You know, I laugh and kid, a lot of people think, they say, you know, Jared, these people write their hearts out too, and you pick at them, you make fun at them. What do you want me to do, cry? Okay, next one. Let me get a sad one. Tonight, my wife and I went to see Jesus Christ Superstar. I liked it, and the funny thing about it was that you were on my mind throughout the whole show. Last night at seminar, we played God in the human form. Something nice happened. A force or consciousness or openness touched to me, and although it had no form or face, I called it Jesus. Some part of me cried the name Jesus. I felt filled and surrounded with it. When the initial rush subsided, I was left with the simplest confession offered by the same part of me that identified Jesus. The confession, I have sinned much, followed with, yes, I am loved much. I blew out the candle after this letter and started my HUs. It occurred to me that to focus in on the subtler, quieter place that the HU brings to me, all I have to do is breathe into that new place. Listen. It occurred to me that to focus in on the subtler, quieter place that the HU brings me to, all I have to do is breathe into that new place. Great key. So, I started this, and after the HU took me more and more, or less and less, I would breathe into that new place and focus in there. After a little bit, I saw a light. HU breath, HU breath. It got closer, and no kidding, it was just like the Blessed Mother holding a baby. My body started to shake, as it does in situations like this, but I had a lot of help, so I was focusing closer and seemed to blend right into her or him or it. I wanted to talk, so I moved back to focus close, but blending into it again, which was okay with me. Thanks for your guidance and subtle hand. I feel your presence a lot now. Was what I experienced the angel I asked to know more about? Was it the Blessed Mother? Please forgive my lack of faith. Sometimes my basic needs to know, I guess. Thanks again and again and again for your living love. The paradox of this letter is right in the midst of spirituality sits the doubt. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the biggest thing that I have to work with in terms of negativity of the doubt. If it were just what I call healthy doubt, like, well, let's see. But usually it's wrapped up in the negativity of judgmentalism. I'm not good enough to have a vision. I'm not good enough to have a spiritual experience. And you're not good enough to bring it to me. And neither is anyone else. So we have the eternal paradox. I like it. I do. As long as it's in the realm of a stepping stone in our advancement. Often it isn't. It is the very process that brings us to our downfall. I was reading that people who receive a born-again feeling, or who have accepted Jesus as their personal savior, or whatever the term it is, you know, that they're involved with, kneeling at the cross, the blood of Jesus, or whatever those terms are, that they then feel, because of this upsurge of energy, that they have a direct, continuous tie-in. And that may be true. It doesn't always manifest that way. And so they don't receive the guidance, the upliftment, and they get very discouraged and back out of Christianity. But you know something? The Hindus do it, the Messiahs do it, the Christians do it, the Buddhists do it. Everybody does that. Because we lose track of one particular basic fact that's involved with this planet, and that it is a negative planet and belongs to the Lord of Negativity. So therefore, the body, the emotions, the mind, the unconscious are all up for grabs with what we could call classically the devil. We call it the call power, negative power. Looked at, in another term, as an angel on the path that keeps you on the path or devours you. So you can look at it, you know, a lot of ways. I look at it as a guidepost, like, don't go over there, he's got a mad dog. he'll bite you. Stay out of his territory. The reason he's got it there is because he thinks there's something great, so let him have it. But if you ever get a chance to get close, all he's got over there with his mad dog is a bunch of dog do. so it's not worth it anyway. I mean, there's no way you can win, but he'll try to make you think the grass is very green. It isn't. It just looks that way. In the movement, when we enter into, well, why would this take place? Let's look at it in terms of, is there an answer? Sure, I'm going to give you one. Don't I always? No. Yes, but sometimes that's an answer. And what is the answer? I don't know. Well, that's an answer. It isn't popular, it's not healthy, but that's the way it is. You know, if you don't like that, the door swings in and the door swings out, and some walk in and some walk out. And that's life too. If we enter into that moment of grace, where the energy is coming to us and we're moving towards it, it's a reciprocal pattern, which is the basic law of the planet, law of reciprocity. When the energy that we are is going up and the energy of God, essence, is coming down, we meet. And in that moment, grace becomes a part of our beingness. God becomes a very personal, direct, revelatory experience. And at that moment, we have the knowing of knowings. And it's nice. But if we do not use that energy to dive back into our beingness as a corporal form and look at the errors that we have created and perpetrated upon ourselves, then we have not used that energy to its divine greatness. Because those habit patterns will cycle back on us again and overtake us in that moment when we sleep, when we do not stay aware, when we do not stay awake. So we have to take advantage of the opportunity that God gives us by way of extended energy to give us the strength, the determination, the willpower in that moment to dive into the repository of our beingness and surface the errors and repent. And it takes the strength of God in order to repent. You can't do it from your own mind, or your own motions, your own body, because look how often we failed. I mean, we're saying, I don't even want to say I think I'll do it because I can't even trust that. And that's right. And I would say, don't lay trust in that, for trust must be earned. You can certainly love it and watch it. But to trust it, to trust your mouth with its nonsense of your mind and your emotions, is fool's paradise. In that moment, we go in. Grace is extended to us at its greatest moment. Not at the moment where we feel the exaltation of the upliftment. That's exaltation and upliftment, and who needs grace? Everything's fantastically beautiful and fine. Even though grace is that process, that has exaltation in it. But it's when we get away from the group action And we get alone with our little karmic thoughts and our habitual secretivenesses that we do behind closed doors, either alone or with anybody who will join us. And if they're not there, we can do it in our mind or our emotions. And we enter into the secret hates and the secret lusts and greeds and avarices. That moment, friends, when you're by yourself, is when you need God's grace more than any other time. You really don't need it in a group like this because the energy of the Spirit is present. That's when you need to have a connection with the spiritual form that you are so that you can pull from that energy down through the mind, the emotions, the body, the unconscious, and grab a hold of your muck and mire, or as we say, grab yourself by the bootstraps and pull yourself up. And it's not easy. If we have spiritual songs to sing, we can rejuvenate the energy of the room and pull from the energy in the room. If we have discourses, we can sit into the discourses and read them and generate the energy from the written word. If we have tapes, we can listen to tapes and get the spoken word energy. If we're initiated, we can move into that power of the word of God that's been placed inside of us in the spiritual form. And pull the energies forward and pull them forward until we can just reach out and grab a hold of things, and not with the will, but with the very beingness that we are, change it. But when we change it, we must give it up. You can't change it and hang on to it, or you will corrupt yourself the same way you did in the beginning when you first partook of the temptation and fail. But you can't just walk away from it when it's ingrained in your consciousness, for in that last breath, when you go to leave this planet, that will be unfinished business that you'll turn and you'll focus back on that and die in the habit. And you didn't even want to. And so we have to gain the strength to see the face of God by looking at our own dark side and loving it by changing it. And the sad thing here that often happens is that you'll know what it is, but your lover, hopefully it's your husband or wife, and they should be your lover as well as being married to you, hopefully they will keep their mouth shut when they discover it in you. Because they will then grab the boil of your unfoldment and squeeze it too soon, and it erupts inwardly, and the severe pain goes through your body. And then you feel like they've castigated you, and you want to run from them because you weren't ready to have that boil opened yet. You were waiting for it to nurture, so you, when you got it, you could get it all, because you know when it was coming. And they, in their greatness of tempting you, of how great they are, went after it too soon. Now we hate the very thing that we love. Isn't it a paradox? But it happens. I say, if you truly love each other, and we really truly should love each other, so that we can be recognized as the disciples of God. So truly, not in that overt manifestation of hustling people off the street to show them you love them, but leave them alone on the street to show them you love them, and just love them as you walk by and let them say, "What was that? For a moment, beauty came into my life." Let them ask the question that will lead them into their own beingness. And if they find that in you, don't look back, or they'll think that you're tempting them for the wrong reason. Just keep on walking. And if they catch up to you, and they can ask you the correct question, then enter into conversation with them verbally. But that verbal conversation will start the corrupting, unless it's preceded, superseded, and translated into living love that just comes from you. That's a hard one to do because our mouth wants to show what we know. And often we don't even know we know it until we say it. Then we say, look how intelligent that I am. Did you hear what I said that was so magnificent? Let's now build a temple here and we'll worship God in this spot. And we're right back to the old Bible things when they said, forget the temples, forget the rocks, forget the nonsense, and let's get down to God's business. For the temple of God is you, the tabernacle. Not because I say so, not because the Holy Scriptures say so, but they do. Did anybody bring their Bible tonight? Well, I'll tell you where it says it. And the Word was made flesh. It wasn't made a church or a brick, nor your new car, nor your technique, nor your ability, but made flesh. And since God is no respecter of you, it chose to dwell in you. And that's the greatest laugh of this whole cosmic joke. Because the Bible says, anybody who adds to this religious scripture is a worker of the devil, and I've been adding to it until hell freezes over. For the simple reason is that when John wrote that, he was saying, don't write any more on this book of Revelation. Because the Bible wasn't put together until a long time after he bit the dust. Well, I'm not even too sure that he didn't even die with these boots on. But right in the book of Revelation, it states exactly the thing we do. And it says, and I was shown these things, and I don't know if I were taken up in the Spirit or not. But you can darn well bet your boots, when you've been taken into the Spirit and you see that, you'll know that he was too. Berush Beishan.
John Rogers' closing words were Berush Beishan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.